Rick Emerson Show. Thank you for coming by. It's 503-535-9100, my friend. 503-535-9100. Rick, this email says, I haven't yet heard you speak of your experience playing Doom 3. I want to know if you've started screaming like a little girl. Let me tell you, man, you were talking about something that gets inside your damn head. We're talking about Sin City and how everybody I know who saw Sin City has had flashbacks or dreams or, I mean, it's come back and it stalks you when you're asleep. Doom 3 is much the same. There were moments last night, because I got Doom 3, I got the limited special edition from the store, which is fantastic. And so I plugged it when I really ought to be working, when I really ought to be rehearsing my Bigger Than Jesus stuff. What am I doing? I'm crouched in front of the television in the flickering glow of the electronic campfire like a dork, hunting down demons and aliens in the persona of a gigantic, grunting, steroid-filled Marine. Doing little, like, the low fist punch to myself, like, triumphantly, whenever I manage to kill something in an especially splatterific fashion. So he's, and it literally, there are moments when I'm pulling back from the television because there's something on the screen filling me with dread and fear. Yeah. Although I have proven more skilled at the Doom 3 one-on-one play than I have at the Halo 2. I haven't been schooled by any small children that I know of. Anyway, we'll talk more about that. We'll get to, and in just a moment, we'll welcome our good friend, the Bling Master of the show. And then shortly after that, we'll welcome Clyde Lewis. We'll do today's top five, which is top five live albums of all time, courtesy of our good friends at Wentworth Chevytown, then Jolie, then some audio from 10 years ago in the world of Clyde Lewis. It's more show, really, than should legally be allowed by law. A first-time caller in Portland. Jay, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Yeah, Rick.
What do you got, brother?
Well, I listened to Lars a couple of months ago, sorry to say. And
Thanks. Why don't you stick a knife in my heart and then pour lemon juice in there?
It wasn't during your show. It was during Don my show.
Oh, okay. All right, okay.
But, he was, talking about just whatever he talked about, taxes, blah, blah, blah. When we get back from the break, we'll talk about beer cats and whatever. Comes back from the great break, and the guy is just livid. He's like, you son of a bitch, you stopped calling my wife. I had to move. I had to change my address. I have an unlisted number. Somebody posted my new address. You little bastard, you have a problem with me. Come down to the station. We'll take it up. I'm packing now. My wife is packing now. We'll leave my family alone. Come pick it up with me.
So he just went completely. Now, it's the first I've heard of it. I didn't know that. I didn't hear said loopiness. So
apparently, he came back from the break. He was just pissed off for like 15 minutes, ranting and raving, everything to avoid dropping the F-bomb. Comes back from the next break, back to normal. Let's talk about taxes again.
Let's talk about parking meter remittance fees.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm trying to track down the Talkers magazine because from what I heard, see, I'm getting it like fourth hand now because I'm hearing about people who heard Don and Mike reading an article about whatever it is Lars said. And so by the time it gets to me, he's doing everything but drooling and rending his garments and spitting on the air. So,
well, apparently he has tapes of some guy calling up threatening to rape and kill his wife and that sort of thing. And he's moved a couple of times and changed his address and changed his phone numbers. And so.
And it's certainly not my place to tell anybody what to take seriously and what not to. I will say in my experience, and I think I speak for a lot of radio people here, in my experience, the guys who call up and say that they're going to come and they're going to push you through a small wire screen and then wear your skin like a dress, those guys are never going to do anything. I mean, the people who really want to do something to you will never tell you about it. They'll never give you the warning. They will never give you. Now, I'm not saying, look, and his deal is his deal. If the man investigated and thinks it's a threat, then, it's a real threat. Whatever. I mean, I'm not talking about his situation in particular.
No, I'm just saying, that was the best 50 minutes of radio I've ever heard. He comes back, he's talking about, there's taxes. Loses his mind for about 10 minutes and comes back normal.
It is always good to hear someone completely lose any ability to hold rational discourse, Bruce Williams style. So,
absolutely.
Hey, you're a first-time caller. How'd you discover the show?
Actually, I've been listening since Rock Chick Katie way back today.
Rock Chick Katie, that is old school, my friend. You spread the word?
Well, yes, absolutely.
Excellent. Thank you. Call us anytime.
Okay, we'll do.
All right, there you go. Yeah, I mean, whatever. I mean, if it's a real thing, then it's a real thing and whatever. But I have always found, like, some guy that we used to get this guy when I was in Utah, this guy that would call the front desk. And this actually unnerved me the first couple times it happened until you realize it's just this guy's way of jacking you up. The guy would call the front desk, and there was this woman named Kay, Kay Trujillo, who was our secretary. It was great. And she would answer the phone, and the guy always said exactly the same thing. She would answer the phone at the front desk, and she would say, hello, Citadel Radio, Salt Lake. And the guy would say, I know what Rick Emerson looks like. I know what kind of car he drives. I know what time he leaves work, and I'm going to shoot him in the head. And then he would just hang up. And so that's a thing that'll, you know, that'll make you look both ways a few times when you're leaving the studio. You'll start carrying a broken whiskey bottle with you everywhere you go. But after a while, you realize it's just some jackhole, you know, he's trying to get a rise out of you. I think some guy who, you know, it's not like the guys in the order gave Alan Berg any warning in Denver. They didn't call ahead and say, by the way, we're going to be outside your house with a machine gun. So if you could pause outside of your Volkswagen for a few seconds and wear something bright and stand under a streetlight for a while, that would be helpful. They didn't, because it's like they wanted to get the job done, and so they didn't tell him about it. So whatever. Well, I hope it's nothing serious, but I do like to hear stories of people melting down. Those are always a good thing. Let's get one more, and then we'll welcome the Bling Master to the show. Patrick, hi, how are you?
Hey, how you doing, Rick?
What's up?
Hey, the other day you were talking about women, Asian women and stuff, and I tried to call and I couldn't get in, and I wanted to give you some reason why some men like Asian women.
Okay, so are you speaking now for yourself?
Well, yeah, myself and some other friends I talked to. It's the Asian women have, like, no hair on their legs, under their arms, no sideburns, no mustaches, and just a hint of hair where it's supposed to be. And every time I see, like, J-Lo, I almost gag because I know she's got sideburns, the mustache, and a little, you know, it's all over the place.
I was going to say, if you're having to choose Asian women because you're tired of women with mustaches, perhaps your problem is larger than that of race or ethnicity, my friend. You need to stop drinking at the Triple Nickel.
No, I mean, they even have hair on their breasts.
Where are you meet? Are you meeting women on the island of Dr. Moreau or something? Are you going to East Germany for your dates?
No, I'm just saying that, you know, I've had different dates through my life, and I've just noticed the hair content on certain women. And the one with the lowest amount of hair is Asian.
Sarah's now begging me to terminate this call.
Because someone's standing right outside the window raising their eyebrows.
Who was it, Alan? Hi there. How you doing?
All right. Let's get breast hair guy off.
All right. All right. Thank you, Patrick.
Okay.
Thanks. All right. There you go. That's Patrick. All right. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show our good friend, the Bling Master General Brian Kipe, who joins us now from Max 910 Sales. How are you, sir?
I'm good.
Do you find women in your experience to be hairy, typically?
Not the ones that I go after.
Seriously. I mean, it's like I mean, the guy's experience is the guy's experience, but it does seem like you would have to go out of your way to pick several women in a row that have got large sideburns or whatever.
Quit posting up at Mary's downtown and you'll find some decent women. That's my advice to you, bro.
Seriously, quit picking up women at the Latvian Olympics. All right, so what's up?
All right, basic man, I've got the greatest Rick Emerson party story for you ever, and I told it to Sarah and ran it by her. It is good.
Now, because, you know, we are coming up on Listener Party 8, which is 9 days away at the Viper Room on 7th and Hawthorne. It's going to be next Friday, tax day, the 15th, our very first Friday Listener Party featuring our Dead Celebrity Lookalike Contest and a special live broadcast of the Rick Emerson Show at 10.
And the Viper Room's a cool spot, man.
It's very cool.
It's, you know.
We're actually going there tomorrow to do a little walkthrough, because the last time I was there, they were just finishing the upstairs. They were building that stage, but it wasn't quite done yet, so I'm going to go see it tomorrow.
So anyway, last night we're out at our friends at Rodder's in Oregon City. We're doing a Coors Light on-prem, you know,
right.
Those parties that we're required to do in the world of radio. I meet this guy. He's like a white trash version of me. This guy is like, first, he's pasty, so he's not orange.
You're sort of orange trash, yeah. You're like a Day-Glo trash.
I mean, he's wearing the hockey jersey, and this guy's wearing, like, all kind of platinum chains and jewelry and whatnot. But I find out he's a regular at Rodder's, and this guy, I ask him about, I'm like, hey, man, do you know about the Viper Room? He's like, yeah, I know about the Viper Room. I've heard about it. Well, you need to be there next Friday, I told him, because I found out this guy has legally, through the state of Oregon, he has a pet chimpanzee, and this chimpanzee enjoys consuming massive quantities of alcohol. I verified this with our friends Kathy and John out there, the owners of Rodder's, who, by the way, just love you and worship you and were begging for me to... You'll be back there in September.
At Rodder's? We dug that place. Sarah and I were at Rodder's.
They were
last
John
year.
Was asking about Sarah, and he's like, give Sarah my love. They gave you your jacket back.
Yeah,
you know,
no, Rodder's is a cool
his
place.
His wife
we,
was going on and on about how sweet you were, and I'm like, Rick's a good kid.
Yeah, we dig that place. All right, so he's got...
And I begged him, bring the drunken monkey. So I think the chant should start up. The cry goes out right now. We need to find this guy wherever he is.
Now, is this a service monkey?
No, Richie, no.
I mean, is it just like is it a pet monkey or does the monkey
The guy was pretty cool.
Is he a cripple
It's legal, right?
No, I mean, apparently he drinks there 7 nights a week, so he's affluent somehow. I mean, he had the pool stick, like, case, like the really nice, like, $300
Right, like
pool,
the Tom Cruise color
And he
color
had
money
platinum case. All over himself, so I'm assuming he gets his money somehow. It could be ill-begotten. I have no idea. But, I mean, I asked, like, all his friends, and I'm like, are you serious? Does this guy really have a monkey? And he's like, yes. And the monkey, they've even brought the monkey into Rogers, and the monkey will drink. It will consume booze. This could be one of the greatest parties ever if we get this guy and his monkey. Richie took the guy's information.
Jesus Christ. If we get this guy and his monkey, it'll be the greatest party ever. There are phrases in your life that when you wake up in the morning and you're having your toast and staring out the window wondering what the day holds, if you were to rank all the things you expected to hear, there are certain phrases and patterns of words that would be near the bottom of that list. And the phrase, if we can get this guy and his monkey, it'll be the greatest party ever, is a phrase I did not anticipate
hearing.
Maybe
it's Michael Jackson's, you know, Bubbles on Refuge. I don't know.
Bubbles,
you know?
Is dead, so the monkey could really be coming as Bubbles. Now, let's stop and get a hold of ourselves. So was the monkey there last night?
No, but this was verified by a lot of Max 910 sources, and Richie took this guy's complete info down because we said, dude, I said, I will pay
for
you.
So Richie's got the guy's number.
Yes, name, number, info, and I said, I will personally buy your drinks, and I know there's a lot of Emerson listeners that would help out as well.
Oh, I'll get that monkey drunk.
Exactly. Well, here's the thing though is that the monkey is scared of like super huge crowds and like guys, but it does like crowds of women. That's what they told me.
Do you have
it would probably like Sarah.
Picturing the monkey on top of the building holding Sarah in one paw, batting at little biplanes. Let me understand this. So the monkey likes to drink.
Yes.
The monkey
very much so.
The monkey likes large groups of women. The monkey doesn't like men or crowds, though. Now, what happens when the monkey is exposed to large crowds of men?
You know,
does the monkey become... What? When you say monkey...
And is it legal to give monkeys alcohol?
Well, they're not human. You can give your beer. You can give your dog beer. I don't because it's trashy, but you can give your dog beer. When you say a monkey, what kind of monkey is this? Monkey... Did we just say the monkey is a catch-all term for any number of primates, or is the monkeys?
And the chimpanzees,
I think it's a fairly large. It's not like Marcel on Friends or whatever. I think this is fairly a decent size, like chimp thing. He's got it all legally here. You know,
all I'm saying is thousand pounds of dead weight, Rick.
Yeah, they'll tear your head right off.
Yeah, your nose.
Apparently, it's pretty cool. I mean, apparently, it's they've had it in Rotters drinking, and they say it behaves. It says as long as it's by. You know, as long as he's next to it, and as long as it's next to some, you know, fairly decent looking women, none of these, you know, hairy, you know.
So it can't be next to any of the mustaches. So if we get it next to an Asian woman, it'll be fine.
No, they'll be outside
talk
protecting.
About hasty generalization.
Seriously.
Good God, who let that guy on the air?
So does the monkey? Can't believe we're having this conversation. Is the monkey able to tend to its own waste? And you know what I'm saying? The monkey's not going to poo everywhere, is it?
No, this guy is. Fairly, from what I've heard, he handles it very well.
Well, monkeys usually wear diapers, too, in public.
Yeah. I don't want a monkey flinging its own waste.
But, I mean, I think that, and Sarah and I are on the same page, I'm definitely thinking that this drunken monkey needs to make an appearance.
Boy.
If it's, you know, if the animal rights people, if it's okay, and if you can actually give
out. The monkey's happy.
It's all legal. It's not like the guy illegally has it here, though.
Who are they to deny a monkey the pleasures of the flesh and of alcohol? You know,
I have an animal rights activist for a good friend. I could bring her on and we could ask her.
But
I'm just afraid, you know, Rick.
This seems like it's a news. Like, I can already hear the news story in my head about it started off as just another radio promotion. It ended with 15 dead and several clutching their faces to cover the gaping wounds.
With their fingerless hands.
excuse me for bringing it to your attention. I thought
stumps.
It was a...
No,
it is a
great idea, because it's starting to get a little freaky. Because you haven't heard the monkey stories with them ripping off every loose appendage.
I totally
This email down. Says, Rick, I will give you $500 if you can get a photo of the monkey snapping Sarah's thong at the party. I will give this money to charity. I bet you make a huge listener party fundraiser.
What if we can get Sarah to actually, or the monkey to kiss Sarah, and we can raise money for charity that way?
Oh, my God. What is wrong with you people?
It's for charity.
Have we fallen through some wormhole?
How many times have you guys told me
I am not a sexual harassment wormhole?
Yeah.
We've
I'm a kinder, gentler King Bling.
We've gone into some parallel world. I mean, 15 minutes ago, we were just talking about Cheez-Its and Doom, and now we're talking about a drunken monkey that's going to kiss Sarah and that might go crazy at a party.
On the cheek for charity.
I'd let a monkey kiss me on the cheek.
Would you?
On the cheek, yeah. Not any... No, no, no.
What if he wanted...
Now, no.
With tongue?
I don't... Rick.
Would you spoon with the monkey? You said you'd spoon with Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson is different than a monkey. I didn't say I would spoon with him. You said for $1,000 for 10 seconds.
Well, I'm not giving you $1,000. Let's welcome on the phone here to the Rick Emerson Show. Doesn't it say? Oh, I'm sorry. Is it not? Should I pick this up? Oh, I'm sorry. That's my fault. I thought it was Kristen from accounting. It's a different Kristen. Hi, how are you?
Hi. I'm doing all right. I'm just having horror flashbacks of the monkey birthday.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, see, that's the thing is we've had some monkey stories recently that'll give you pause. They will make you think differently about our primate pals.
It's just, you know, the monkey birthday party last time just blew it all to hell. I'm never going to look at monkeys again. No monkeys.
The last where the guy lost all of his fingers, one foot, both testicles, and his nose.
Yeah. Didn't he die?
No, he's clinging to life Shivo style, I think.
It's not a freaking 800-pound orangutan or whatever.
Do we know what manner of monkey it is?
I don't know, but I think some of your listeners have got to know this guy, dude. I mean, you've got listeners in Oregon City. Don't, you know, it's not like all your listeners are just centered in the Hawthorne district.
On the other hand, the party is going to be live on the air, and that would be some compelling radio. You know, just a live broadcast of the monkey tearing through the crowd like they were made out of warm butter.
Yeah, I'm totally going to have to record that just so that I have the screaming monkey.
Well, you need
later.
To be there. You don't need to record it.
Well, no, I'm going to have to be there and record it for future use.
This
not a girl.
Calamity.
All right, Kristen, we hope to see you there.
All right.
With
all
three hot friends.
Yes.
Okay. Who like orange guys.
Rick, just to let you know, bringing a chimpanzee to a crowded, alcohol-soaking drunk fest might not be a great idea. Remember, chimps can literally rip off your arm and beat you with it. The chances of this happening will probably increase to the proportion of the number of AMFs poured down his throat by wasted retards dressed as dead people. I can check it out now. And then he simulates the conversation. Hey, dude, check out the chip. Sweet. Here, monkey, have some beer. And then the email just descends into a lot of screaming and let go of my arm and, oh, God, it's eating my face. Please, God, make it stop.
Maybe it's in a cage or something.
No, I mean, this would definitely be a party to remember. Apparently,
I asked. I did research because I've heard those stories, and I'm like, can he control it? Is it? And they're like, you know what? It's pretty mellow. You know, it just likes to hang out and have a few beers and some drinks. I know this is never going to go anywhere, and Alan, as soon as I walk out the door, is going to, you know, throw me up against the, you know, the wall and bloody me up a little bit. But
because now we've teased the listeners with drunken monkeys.
Well, no. Let me be clear about this. If we can make it, what's Richie's extension? Anybody know?
You can call the front desk.
If we can make it happen.
Get Richie in here. Someone get Richie in here.
Well, we're supposed to go to break, but we'll push it late here. Well,
before we go to break, can I pimp your VIP thing real quick?
Please do.
All right. People need to stay tuned to you
right,
real quick.
Hi. Hello?
Front desk.
Oh, hi. This is Rick Emerson. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm fine. We're looking for Richie Bristol's extension.
It is 356.
Okay. Thank you so much.
No problem.
All right. There you go. All right. I'm sorry. Do you want to pimp your thing?
No. Basically, people need to be listening because we've got two VIP ticket drops to the exclusive VIP pre-party, which is going to be somewhere close to the Vibe Room, and we're going to try. Tonight, I have a meeting at the said VIP location to see if we can't get limo rides for everybody there.
Yeah. 'Cause
this bar only holds 30 people, even with standing room only, so... people need to be listening, and when we tell you where the ticket drops are going to be, show up. It'll probably be like Kyle and Richie there for an hour giving away tickets.
Cool.
We'll probably give away like 15 tickets at each spot, or 14, and then you'll have some to give away on
good
air.
Good times. Well, let's track down Richie. 356?
Brought to you by our friends at Coors Light.
All right. Let's find we'll find Richie Bristol here in Max Promotions.
You do know how much Coors Light and Original Coors love you, right?
We and our listeners love them.
they love you and your listeners.
It's like the guy says, how much do you drink? All of it.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
We can page him.
Yeah, is he in the building? Nobody know? This is gripping
he
radio.
Is.
I mean.
Hi, you've reached Chris Riley in promotion.
Oh, no, that's completely the wrong. Wasn't it 356?
That's what I thought. Yeah, 356.
All right, can you find, Kyle's going to find Richie Bristol. And he will learn more about this man. So, by the way, in the meantime, if anybody out there knows about this man and his...
In Oregon City.
And what the Jacques Cousteau... merged two things together. If anybody, Inspector Cousteau would call him Minky. If anybody knows about this guy in Oregon City that has a monkey that drinks...
this guy hangs out at Rotter's Place Pool and wears a lot of platinum. He's also about a foot shorter than I am.
And also has a monkey.
Yeah.
That'll be the easiest thing to spot, I would think. Once you get past the he has a monkey, I think we'll be able to nail it down. If anybody knows this man of whom we speak, we're trying to find Richie Bristol. So let's recap.
If you say monkey again, I'm going to scream.
Primate.
Monkey.
Donkey Kong.
Tomorrow I'm doing the top five songs about monkeys.
Thanks.
Hold on, I'm writing it down. Top five.
We could reenact Donkey Kong. The monkey can throw empty kegs that your listeners will have consumed at, like, you while you try to jump over them, and the monkey will be sitting up on the stage holding Sarah. This could be great. A live reenactment of Donkey Kong.
You were just off the charts weird sometimes.
Dude, I grew up playing that, man.
So first we had the dead celebrity contest. Then we had the live broadcast. Now there will be a monkey. Party.
Maybe.
Yeah.
What else could possibly happen this week?
Alan is going to beat the crap out of me for this, but whatever.
What?
I bet there are a few surprises to come.
It's the Rick Emerson Show. We'll be back after this. Fat's really in the fire now. 503-535-9100 or 1-877-535-9100. Thank you for coming by. Here's what's coming up. Just a second, we're going to welcome... our good friend Richie Bristol to promotions. Clyde Lewis from News at Ground Zero. We're here with Brian Kipe, the Bling Master from Axe 910 Sales. We've also got today's top five coming up. Top five live albums of all time. We get a chance with a little Star Wars trivia, and I've got this in my hand. It's audio from 10 years ago. Clyde Lewis, This Is Your Life. Let's welcome host of his own damn fine radio program, the original Harry Scary Man, Clyde Lewis. How are you, sir?
You actually got 10 years ago?
Look at that, baby. KCNR, IDs, intros, bumps, and work parts.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, cool.
All of that. So, some stuff with you on it. So awesome. I haven't listened to this tape in probably 5 years. I have no idea what's on here.
All right,
we'll go
great.
Through it. All right, so before we get underway with all this, previously on the Rick Emerson Show, Brian Kipe came in from Max Sales and said that there was a guy with a monkey who drinks at Rotter's, which is a place we like, one of our friends there.
Yes.
And that the guy with the monkey was interested in coming to the listener party. And so we are now attempting to determine specifics about the monkey. Richie Bristol joins us from Max 910 Promotions. Richie, how are you, sir?
Good, good.
Okay, so have you met the monkey man?
Yes, I have.
Okay, so did you meet the monkey?
No, but he had pictures in his wallet.
And we researched it.
What sort of a monkey is this?
A mean monkey, I heard. A mean drunk.
Okay. This gets better every minute. So do we know what... Because monkey is just like a catch-all term, right? That's not a scientific term for a specific type of primate, is it?
Chimpanzee.
It was can't it be a chimpanzee. This is no way.
Is it a chimp?
Yeah, it was pictures of...
Dude, this guy's licensed.
Jesus God. Okay.
And it's an angry drunk. This is potential for great radio. Clyde agrees with me. You know, I would grow a mustache.
I look dangerous.
Right now, you know?
So this isn't. Let me understand this. So this is an angry chimpanzee that likes to drink.
Yeah, he had scratches all over his face. That's how we got in the conversation. I said, like, "What happened to your face?" He pulled out his wallet like he's showing his kids, but he had pictures of monkey.
It was just like showing his scars from '85.
We have his scars number. We have 92. His cell number here and his name, Rick.
Okay. Well, here, why don't we, when we track, Kyle is out of the room at the moment. When we find Kyle, when Kyle gets back here, we'll have him go. What's the guy's name?
Austin. He lives in Oregon City.
All right. Well, let's take...
he has a chimpanzee.
Hi there, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
I was going to tell you that the main thing is monkeys have tails.
Yes?
Well, that's it.
Wow. Does he have a tail? Well, no, you already said it was a chimpanzee, Richie.
It looked like a chimpanzee.
Right.
Wow, dude, the sky is blue and sharks bite people.
And the conversation started because you asked the guy, what's wrong with your face? Because the guy was all scarred.
Yeah, he's scratched up.
And the guy said, the monkey did this to me.
Got too drunk.
So he was scratched up because it's an angry chimpanzee that likes to drink.
He's very selective in his beer. That's what he said.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. All right. Hey, where the hell did Kyle go to?
So wait, so that guy just called in to just tell us that monkeys have tails?
Yeah.
Here, wow. give me the
Max 910 newsroom.
Give me the number.
Get Tim Riley on that.
All right, hold. This is going to be some gripping radio here. But I'm gonna call the guy.
Right. Is that his cell phone, Richie?
I think so.
Okay, I'm gonna call the number.
Now that guy was a pretty cool drunk, cause he was just loaded last night, and he was really cool.
Calling this guy.
He owes me, cause I gave him about $300 worth of blazers.
I'm gonna ask him if he wants to go on the air. And if he says yes, Sarah, I'll put this on hold, and then we can bring him up
on the air.
So I'm calling this guy off the air right now to see. It's ringing.
Heck, we should call him on the air.
You can't broadcast.
Are we pulling the curtain back?
Yeah, you have to get the permission first.
We're pulling the curtain back. And
we are.
Yes,
we
are.
Oh, wait, this is... Okay, it's voicemail. Okay, I'm going to leave a message with the studio number here. All right. Waiting for the beep. Hey, Austin, this is Rick Emerson from Max 910. Talk radio for guys.
Turn it up.
This message sucks. I was just here with Brian Kipe and Clyde Lewis and the assembled throngs here at Max 910. And I'm to understand that you have a monkey.
A drinking monkey.
So do me a favor. Call this number. It's 503-535-9100. It'll be answered probably. If you call before noon, either Kyle or Sarah will answer. We want to talk to you about your minky. So give us a call back. Thanks again. All right, there you go.
Did the monkey have a name, Richie?
Killer.
Dude, now that you mentioned it, his face was pretty beat. I mean,
he got beaten by a monkey.
See, that's the thing. If the conversation hadn't started because he was all scratched up, and what happened to you, monkey? You know,
my pet monkey.
Yeah. Why do I feel like this is a King Kong movie waiting to happen?
Compelling
event.
It's looking a bit like the end of Young Frankenstein.
Clyde has fire in his eyes right now. He sees the.
I see. No flash photos.
Monkeys. Yeah. They're always good for ratings.
Yeah, they are. Monkeys equal comedy.
Yes, they
monkeys
do.
Are the funniest of all animals.
We
Clyde,
have
you know
a couple
that.
Like you know Humane Society officers with trank guns ready
right.
at the ready.
That's exactly what we need. So we can not only have a room full of drunken people and a monkey that is angry and likes to drink, but we can have people roaming with tranquilizer guns.
Clyde, with all the assembled drugs and stuff that he probably has in his medicine cabinet at home, we could probably put some Valium or something in this monkey's beer. We could put some, like, downers or something like that, because alcohol is a depressant itself, so...
All right. Okay.
We get him all mellow.
Yeah.
Kill him.
I mean, after, you know...
Sit and watch Cheetos.
Well, I'll tell you what. Well, we got to get to some other stuff here. So, Brian Kipe, if people want to advertise on Max 910 and do it through you so you can get a hefty commission and buy more bling, how can they contact you?
503-525-0361.
There you go. And Richie Bristol, who people can see at the... we have exciting promotions coming up. People can see you at, Richie?
2 VIP ticket drops.
That's
coming up.
April 15th.
Brian, what are you going to dress as?
Excellent.
I don't know. Someone that was... is that one dude that's really orange dead yet? What's his name?
David Hasselhoff.
George Kennedy?
The guy whose just skin is always orange. He was like Old Navy commercial.
George Hamilton or George Kennedy?
I thought it was George Hamilton.
George Hamilton.
Is he dead yet?
He's probably dying. He'd probably be dead by next Friday.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, excellent. All right, there you go. So Richie Bristol, Brian Kipe, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, we'll let you know when we hear anything about the monkey. There you go. All right, Clyde Lewis is here. Here's what we've got to do. We got to do the top five. And we got to do some little ground zero flashback stuff here, and we're waiting to hear back from Austin the Monkey Man. All right, Clyde.
Hey, I'm doing well.
All right, so monkeys equal humor.
Monkeys do equal humor.
They are really the greatest and most hilarious of all animals. They are the wacky jesters.
I remember the trunk monkey. I remember they showed that commercial, made me laugh.
Well, it's like anything is funnier when you just add monkey. You know what I mean?
All right.
Okay, Sarah, should we do the top five here?
Yeah.
Yeah. The top five must be done here. Yeah.
Five.
Thank you.
4, 3, 2, 1, fire.
Counting is marvelous. Counting's the best thing to do.
Stop that.
Counting is happiness. Counting is ecstasy. I love to count, don't you?
All right. Here we we go with today's top five, brought to you by the fine folks at Wentworth Chevy Town. These are the top five live albums of all time. Now, I was initially going to make this top five live rock albums, but it's just, I mean, it's a big bite of the apple here, trying to do top five live albums regardless of genre. But I've done my best here. These are the top five live albums of all time. Honorable mention. And Comes Alive. Now, you know that I would never put this on a list of my own personal top fives.
Right.
No, I hate this. I hate this song.
Yeah, this is like overplayed.
I want to kill myself.
Reality Bites.
Seriously, yeah. I'm especially working in classic radio for any, in classic rock radio for any period of time. I've lost track of how many times I've had to play this or Do You Feel Like We Do.
Yeah, I know.
Ugh. But you know, but here's the thing is you got to give the devil his due. Listen to how 70s that sounds. This set the standard in a lot of ways for live album sales expectations, because before Frampton Comes Alive, live albums didn't sell.
No.
They were just an afterthought or a contract fulfiller, a way to wring a few more dollars out of a band's fan base. Frampton is really the guy who made live albums a thing that would sell in and of their, you know, in and of themselves. They were popular for their own sake. And big, huge, glossy, great 70s production values. By the way, listen to the KTK Vancouver, Portland, KSLM, Salem, an intercom station.
Your easy listening station.
The mellow sound.
Music of your life.
Life
right here.
91.
More Frampton coming up on Max 910.
At least this isn't that 18-minute thing where he's doing the talk box. God, man, how many drugs, how many pounds of cocaine do you think over the years have been like chopped and separated and lined up on the cover of a Frampton Comes Alive record? How much pot has been separated?
Did you meet Frampton when he came to, what was it, Livestock? You were at Livestock.
Livestock. Oh, the Z93 thing? No, yeah, I didn't. No, okay. Livestock was like one of those rock festivals that every radio station puts on every summer with their own kooky name. Livestock was the one for Classic Rock Z93.
But what was cool about that is that we actually had a comic book as our program, which was cool.
It was very cool. I do remember that.
I still have a copy of it somewhere in my trash. I don't know.
No, I didn't get to. All right, counting down the top five live albums of all time. Number five, James Brown. Live at the Apollo. Hit me. He's not there. Now, I'm not much of a funk fan or a soul fan, anything like that. But, I mean, you got to give it up for a man that can work a crowd into an absolute, gigantic, sweaty, soaked frenzy. I mean, look, I don't care how white you are. I don't care how Caucasian you may be. That's some soul right there. Listen to that. All right. Top five live albums of all time. Number four, ladies and gentlemen.
I recognize this.
Yeah. Listen to that.
I wonder if people forgot about how cool this album is. This is a great album.
Are you ready?
I love live album intros.
Will you welcome recording artist Cheap Trick?
Oh, yeah.
Listen to that. Live at Budokan. Cheap Trick. Actually, just at Budokan is the name it's called. Greatest concert opener ever, this song.
Are you ready?
You know, when Rick Nielsen wrote this, he must have known when he wrote this that this was genius.
I remember I saw Cheap Trick at the Bonneville Shake and Bake, and I was drunk.
Really?
And I was 16.
Bonneville Shake and Bake.
Yeah, I was 16 and drunk.
Man, Ed Budokan, that's the next album I got to have Sarah get, because she's got, you got Heaven
Tonight.
Yeah, you got to get Ed Budokan, man.
We're big Cheap Trick fans in high school. Big Cheap Trick.
They fell out of favor for a long time, and yeah, I'm glad to see that they're finally getting the credit they deserve. This is such a great album, Scott. Ain't That a Shame and Surrender. Yeah. And, you know, the classic that I want you to want me. I mean, it just gives me chills even just saying it. And it's like, can you stop this actually and play this one more time from the beginning and then we'll move on. I want to note something here.
You want it now?
Yeah, go ahead and just play that song again from the beginning because Clyde totally nailed it. How great is it when you recognize an album just from that?
Yeah.
Right there from the applause you recognize it.
Yeah, it's true.
And these intros, man. These, again, they fell out of favor. They were considered too cheesy to do for a long time, but there's a beauty in this. There's a real, great, shameless love of rock in this.
Are you ready?
How great is that?
Will you welcome FX recording artist, Steve Frick?
And then they just hit that chord, man. This is beautiful. I listen to that all day. That scream. And this is the last thing I'll say about it, because otherwise I'll just sit and wank about Cheap Trick all day. But you know, there's a great thing about songs like that are designed to open a show. Songs that are designed to open an album. When you think that this album was how most of America first heard of Cheap Trick, this record.
Right.
And the very first thing they hear is that guitar, and then they just hear, you know, Robin Zander singing that, "Hello there, ladies and gentlemen, are you ready to rock?" I mean, that's just the best way to open a record. What a great introduction to a band. It's like on that first Aerosmith album, the very first words America ever heard from Steven Tyler was that when he said that, "Good evening, people, welcome to the show."
Yeah.
I'm just a huge sucker for big, self-aware lyrics like that. Counting down the top five live albums of all time, number three. At the MTV Studios, Nirvana Unplugged. God, this is such a beautiful record too. And you know that I'm not a Nirvana fan, but
you know it's funny. You go from Cheap Trick to this.
It's
kind of depressing.
It is depressing.
I mean,
it is depressing, and I'm not. These are not in terms of quality of the music.
No.
Because again, I'm not like a James Brown fan. I'm certainly not a Frampton fan, and I'm not much of a Nirvana fan.
Well, I am. And that's why it's depressing.
Oh well, I mean, but this is a great record. Nirvana fan or no, this is a. You know what? Because the problem that I had with so much of that grunge stuff is there was no emotion to it. You know, there was no sexuality or passion or love in any of that Seattle-era music. But, you know, you listen to Nirvana Unplugged, and you feel this record accomplishes what a live album is supposed to do. You feel the mood. You feel, you put on headphones or put this on the stereo, and you shut your eyes, and you feel like you are in that room watching the band. You feel like you are there in the audience. You feel like, and especially in Unplugged, where it's supposed to sound intimate and very familiar instead of homey sounding. This accomplishes that in spades. It's like I haven't seen MTV's Nirvana Unplugged for probably 10 years. But man, I put this on, I close my eyes, and I can see the whole set. Yeah. I can see the candles, and I can see Kurt Cobain in that green sweater, hunched over in the chair with the guitar. I mean, it's a beautiful, beautiful record. And like I said, I'm not a fan of the band, but it's a beautiful album. It really is. It's a great song too. This outstrips the original even for me. Even Nirvana songs that I didn't really like Penny Royalty and stuff, they come off as great. Of course, there's that definitive cover, The Man Who Sold the World. And Nirvana's Unplugged record contains the greatest Nirvana moment ever, which is their cover of Where Did You Sleep Last Night. That is the defining Nirvana moment for me. God, what a sad song. What a sad record. You're right, it really is just a melancholy thing to listen to.
It is.
Now cheer up. Counting down the top five greatest live albums of all time. Number two, Johnny Cash, live at Folsom Prison.
Early one morning while making the rounds, I took a shot of cocaine and I shot my woman down. I went right home and I went to bed. I stuck at 11:44 beneath my head. Next morning and I grabbed that gun.
The great and terrifying thing about this record and Johnny Cash live at San Quentin is the complete inappropriateness, the inappropriateness of where the audience cheers. Because every time he mentions doing cocaine, shooting his girlfriend in the head, shooting a man in Reno just to watch him die, the crowd just goes crazy. They just love it.
He said, Willie Lee, your name is not Jack Brown. Here's the dirty hack that shot your woman down.
Every time he mentions killing somebody or ingesting a controlled substance, the crowd immediately starts to cheer.
You've got a warrant just to read it.
This is another one of those albums that became defining. It became the definitive version of so many of these songs.
Daddy, but she had five more.
Counting down the top five live albums of all time. And there's so many I didn't put on here. I didn't put Double Live Gonzo on here. Damn. I mean, there's so many I didn't put on.
Simon and Garfunkel.
Live concert in Central Park.
Mm-hmm.
Concert in Central Park isn't on here. There's so many records I could have put on this list. But finally, you got to do what most rock fans consider the definitive live album of all time. Clyde Lewis?
Kiss Alive 2. Kiss Alive.
Yeah, let's roll it.
Kiss Alive is the biggest one of all.
You wanted the best and you got it. The hottest band in the land. Kiss!
Listen, you can hear the pyrotechnics go off, too.
Wow. Right there. Can you imagine? This was 1973, okay? And a band comes out looking like a bunch of demons with explosives. I mean, that would be enough right there. Just saying.
And again,
I don't know what to do.
This was how, I mean, this was their fourth record, but this was how most people first heard Kiss. Most people never heard of them, hadn't seen them, didn't know anything about them. You pick up this record, it's got these four guys in the front who, we're so used to it now, you can't, I think, get your head around how weird it would have looked. These four guys who look like demons and clowns, and they look like aliens. Huge glowing sign. They're spitting blood. They're breathing fire. You open it up. It's got the big pull-out posters. It's got those weird, creepy love letters from the band on the inside of the album cover. You put it on. You hear, for the first time ever on a rock record, you hear explosions. You hear the fireworks and the pyrotechnics. A whole generation for the first time exposed to not only all the sound of the band, but all that Paul Stanley stage rapping.
Yep.
I mean, this was the beginning of not only a dynasty, not only a rock empire, but this was the beginning of not just a whole new page, but really a whole new book in American rock and world rock.
Listening to this album made you want to go to the concert.
Absolutely. I mean, this, if you went back in history and subtracted this record from rock, the world would be so different. Half the bands that exist now, no matter what format, no matter what station, no matter what you're listening to on the radio, they wouldn't exist. Hell, I mean, there'd be no Garth Brooks without Kiss. I mean, he's always got to that fact that he said without Kiss, he never would have entered music. I mean, they cross so many boundaries, so many barriers, and it is all this record. The greatest, most defining American rock act of all time.
I blew a speaker. I had a KLH when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Blew a speaker when the explosions hit. And I was like, oh my God, a band can blow my speakers. And this was Kiss. And I'm like, I'm a fan. I love Kiss. And I'll always love Kiss. They're a great band.
All right, we'll be back after this. We got some audio from a long time ago in the life of Clyde Lewis. We'll try to do a little Star Wars trivia if we have a chance. We have some stuff to give away, and we'll talk about Clyde's 10th anniversary extraterrestrial extravaganza coming up this weekend. Stay there!